Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. It is the first day of trout season, and we hope that you're able to get out there and enjoy the day. Go out there and catch a few put-and-take trout, take them home, and clean them up, fry them up. Yeah, eat them up. That's right. That's what we do. Out there standing elbow to elbow in some of the most popular spots, trying to catch a fish on live bait or fly rod or spinning tackle. I tell you what, nothing like it. I used to do that when growing up as a kid in Pennsylvania. We used to go to all different places to fish and, you know, stand there and you have guys walking down the center of the stream, standing on your bait, you know. But every now and then you'd actually catch one. Yep, indeed. It was a hoot, I'll tell you. My dad loved that too, man. He loved his thing on trout season. He loved to go out and drown big old night crawlers. He'd catch brown trout and rainbow trout, and that was his thing. He didn't think he needed anything else but either a CP swing, a MEP spinner, or a night crawler. Not me. I like a little more action. I like to throw different things at him, and I've caught trout on everything from Velveeta cheese to gummy worms to orange peels, you name it. I used to try everything, and I still do. I still like to experiment a little bit. But those of you who are fly fishing today, if you have an opportunity, I'd certainly recommend something like a, you know, like the old dependable. What's it called? Muddler minnow. Yeah, that imitates just about anything and everything out there. And I don't know how. Seemed like the water looked pretty good. It didn't look like a lot of rain had affected the water too badly from everything I've seen as far as all the streams and that type of thing. But, hey, look, you're the reporter. Call in. If you're headed out trout fishing today, give us a call. Tell us where you're going. Tell us what you're using. And maybe you're already on the water. I don't know. But if you got your cell phone, if you're listening on your cell phone, give us a call. Very interesting week. Very interesting week. Monday, the hunting license fee increase bill was struck down in the House of Representatives, and a lot of drama surrounding that. People on the floor were telling me different things, what happened, and basically it boils down to this. There was a tiff, a dust-up, an argument, a little tete-a-tete between the members of the Judicial Committee and the members of the Environmental Committee. That happened on last Saturday. And they had a little contest back and forth, see whose was. Anyway, they got in this tiff. So on Monday, first bill to come up for a vote, guess what? Hunting license fee increase. Well, from what I understand, it's very tense down there as far as any increased bills, any fee increases, any tax increases. There's a lot of debate. There was a lot of debate on the hunting license fee increase bill. But basically it came down to where the Republicans dug in their heels at the urging of the NRA and their constituents, I'm sure, and weren't about to let any increase of anything pass this year. And at the moment of the vote, the members of the Judicial Committee walked out of the House. The bill failed. 69-62. Seven votes. I don't know how many people were on the committee. Usually there's a dozen to 20 people on each of those committees. But who knows if that would have been the difference. So, no increase in hunting license fees this year. I wrote some stuff to members of the committee. I think I have it printed out here. Yeah. As you know, I was in support of this bill. Seeing the numbers, And a lot of people don't like the fact that I'm in support of the hunting license fee increase, but a lot of you weren't in the room when the pie chart went up on the screen, and you could see the declining revenue coming from declining hunting license sales over the last 20 years. When you see, yeah, there's some federal matching money, but the dramatic decrease in public funding support of the Wildlife and Heritage Service, and knowing that a lot of the folks in the department and what they do and the programs that they undertake all the time. So this letter follows my email. This is my email. Title line, support for HB 1419 hunting licenses. Support. That's first word. And here's my email to all the members of the committee prior to the vote moving to the House. For over 20 years, I've been a radio talk show host on WCBM 680 in Baltimore. For 12-plus years, my show was named the Maryland Sportsman. For the last 8 years, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. I've established 5 outdoors-oriented magazines since 1983 and continue to publish the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. I've interacted with conservation organizations, sporting goods stores, members of the media, and grassroots sportsmen for most of my adult life. Most importantly, I'm a hunter and a fisherman. I support HB 1419. That was the hunting license fee increase bill. I have a close working relationship with the Department of Natural Resources, both the Fisheries Service and the Wildlife and Heritage Service. I've interviewed most of the directors and project leaders, biologists in the field, and those who work behind the scenes. I've seen them at work in the field. There are no finer fish and wildlife professionals in the country. We need all hands on deck to help manage our natural resources. Many sportsmen do not understand the funding mechanism for the department. I do. And over the airways and in print, I present that mechanism to my listeners and readers. Many sportsmen do not understand that wildlife research benefits game and non-game species. I tell them that the reason for our abundant game and the opportunities they have to pursue their passion is because of the science-based game management that we adhere to. I will continue to inform, educate, and entertain my listeners and readers and strive to bring understanding why the Wildlife and Heritage Service needs to increase license fees at this time. At the end of the day, hunters will step up, as they always do, to support their voluntary roles as citizen conservationists and providers for their families. They will continue to enjoy their days afield and will pass on, generation to generation, the traditions and the heritage of hunting in our society. They realize that the alternative is simply not acceptable. I urge you to reach a favorable report on HB 1419. Thank you. And I signed it. Okay, that was my – did you see anywhere in that, or did you hear anywhere in that I opposed the bill? No. Support. I support. I urge you to reach a favorable report. So, I got a couple of those instant messages back. You know, I'm out of the office right now. It takes us time to review all our emails, blah, blah, blah. I got one letter back that said, thank you for taking the time, you know, that type of thing. An email. So at the end of the day, here comes an email from a delegate in Anne Arundel County. Dear Mr. Ellis, I'm pleased to inform you that members of the House of Delegates were able to reach a bipartisan vote to defeat HB 1419. Considering the many fee and tax increases passed in the budget so far this year, I'm relieved that members were able to stand firm against this additional hike. Hunting, particularly in rural areas, is often a matter of food on the table during hard economic times such as we have now. Maryland will not lose hunting revenue to neighboring states, and peripheral businesses will continue to profit from large and active participation by area hunters. I'm a proud member of the Sportsman's Caucus, whose family enjoys hunting. I'm so glad you've contacted my office on this bill and that I can provide you with a positive result. Thank you for taking the time to communicate. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me again. Do you think I contacted this delegate again? Yes, I did. And I basically said, what made you think that I would be pleased with you telling me that you defeated a bill that I supported. Did you even read my email? Which was printed below this delegate's response. Well, it could lead to cuts in programs, could lead to cuts in personnel, could lead to cuts to services that the Wildlife and Heritage Service provides to us. I can't tick them all off. I don't know what's going to be cut. I know they lost personnel last time in the last round of budget cuts. So, there we are. The Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012 was heard in the Senate Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs Committee this week on Wednesday. I was there. I was in the audience. I spoke to personally one or two delegates myself and was able to watch the process. I got to watch the proceedings. I got to watch the testimony. I got to watch the lobbying. It's no wonder not a lot of Marylanders participate in that process. Anyway, if you'd like to hear my letter of support of the House Bill 1052, which has language in it that, frankly, I was helping to create, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012. I'm not going to read you the bill, but if you'd like to hear my letter to the Senate, I'd be glad to read it to you. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I'd like to hear your comments on the defeat of the hunting license fee increase. You're certainly welcome to comment. Whatever your opinion might be, I'll be glad to listen to it. In the meantime, it is the first day of trout season. I'd love to hear from you. If you're on your way, if you're headed out there to pick up a nice couple of trout for dinner. I'll tell you, I like trout. I don't mind put and take trout. I like to fry them, and I like them butterflied. And as I do every trout season, I will remind you on how I do it. And you're certainly welcome to do whatever you like to do. Most of the trout I've ever eaten have been, you know, broiled or but mostly fried. You know, fried trout, nothing like it. Nice crispy skin. You just crunch right through it. It's very, very good like that. But here's how I do it. I'll take the trout. I'll take the head off. Take the fins out. I'll leave the tail on. Trout have little tiny scales. I still scale them. It doesn't take much to scale trout, but I'll still scale them. And then I'll freeze them. When I'm ready for a meal, I'll take the trout out of the freezer. And before they actually thaw completely through, I'll turn them with the head end facing me while they're still just a little crunchy, not quite thawed. And I will take the point of my fillet knife, turn the sharp part of the blade up towards the sky, and the back of the blade towards the floor or the ground. And I will slide that fillet knife with the trout's back in my hand and its open gut towards the ceiling. I will slide that fillet knife in alongside the spine and slide my way back all the way back along the rib cage and slice off that fillet on the right side. But I won't separate it at the back, at the backbone. Then I'll take the knife and I'll slide it on the other side, and I will actually peel out the entire rib cage all the way back. I'll peel out the spine. I'll peel out the top and bottom bones on the spine. And when I'm done, lying in front of me is a butterflied boneless trout. The two fillets are connected, and there it is. Nice big flat piece of trout meat with no bones. Oh, man, do I like that. Yes, indeed. You can do whatever you want to do with it. You can flour it. You can flour it, egg wash it, flour it again, and then fry it. You can fold it over and stuff it with something. You can do whatever you want to do with it. But I do like trout. 410-922-6680. All right. That brings us to the Maryland Fishing Challenge, of course. And we have a few entries from the last couple of weeks. We have Brian Baldwin, caught a nice 16.5-inch crappie. Ryan Holtzner from Brian Plott from Baldwin, excuse me, caught a nice crappie, 16.5 inches. Ryan Holtzner from Pasadena, 15-inch crappie. Jack Driver from Sharptown, a nice 23.5-inch largemouth bass. James Clark from Annapolis caught a catch-and-release striped bass, 42 inches. Clinton Davis of Western Port caught a 26-inch rainbow trout. Joy Hartsock of Essex caught a 25-inch chain pickerel. David Tanner of Sykesville caught a 16-inch crappie. And William Thompson of Baltimore caught a nice largemouth bass, 23 inches. Let me tell you what, those are nice fish. I don't care who you are. Well, it is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and if you're lucky enough to catch a citation-sized fish, you might just win one of the great prizes, like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, or even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in the freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center or visit the DNR website, www.dnr.maryland.gov, for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge, honoring Lefty Cray, Maryland's own. The website again, www.dnr.maryland.gov. Check your fishing guide. My question is, are you feeling lucky? Alan Ellis here for Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. You know, my friend John Berkridge, the sales manager, he wants outdoorsmen to know that the F-150 and Super Duty pickups are ready for action. Remember, Ford trucks are dependable wherever you spend your time outdoors, at work, and at play. Stop by and see the lineup of Explorers, Escapes, Rangers, Super Duty, and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years. Ask how to take advantage of the special offers and incentives on Ford trucks at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. See Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln at 1845 East Joppa Road in Parkville for all the details, or call 410-661-6400. Visit them online at bobdavidsonauto.com. For outdoorsmen, Bob Davidson is your outfitter for quality Ford trucks.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Luskin solving religious discrimination against presidential candidate Mitt Romney. Monday night, 9 to 11 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a...
All right, here we go. We're going to talk to Paul in Bowley's Quarters. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, it's Carl.
Oh, Carl.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. How you doing, buddy?
I'm sitting waiting for a countdown to throw in, man.
What time is the actual kickoff here? 5:30?
5:30, dude.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I'll keep my eye on it. I'll ring the bell or something, all right?
Okay.
We can
singing along with your song. My son says I'm embarrassing myself out here on the island.
You do what you want to do, brother.
Hell yeah. That's the way I look at it.
That's right. If you want to sing, you sing.
I love that.
That's Daryl Worley. That's Daryl Worley, by the way. We got rid of that big lib Andy Griffith.
Well, I guess a lot of people, when I know all the words to it, I've been listening to you so long, I know all the words.
Yep, song, I got you. Good, good, good. So.
28, he said, my son.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, 5:28 and 24 seconds. We have the official.
Seconds,
we have the official time clock here. Yeah, well, I mean, if you want me to talk you through it, we can do that.
Well, I'm going to be hanging up because I got two lines I got to get in this water and get me my trout.
All right.
And I got all three of my sons with me today.
Yeah.
My probably listening to certain papers.
Yeah, okay.
And my father-in-law's here and...
Man, you got the whole family out there. Well, you're going to have a good trout dinner. How do you cook them, Carl?
We squeezed in out here to get it. It's really crowded because they got it all fish lined off around the island. You can't fish over half of it.
Wow. All right. Well, look.
Around the park here. But, hopefully we get them big, and I hopefully get my palomino today.
There you go. How do you like to cook them, Carl?
All right. Well, we got 30 seconds. The kids are counting down ourselves, okay?
Carl?
Yes, sir?
You have a great day.
You too, buddy.
All right. See you later.
Hopefully you can get out this afternoon.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you.
Into you somewhere. Who knows?
You never know. All right, buddy.
All
right. Talk to you soon.
Take it easy, bud.
See you, man. Bye-bye. There goes Carl. Well, he's got 20 seconds to get the line in the water. Okay. I'd like to read you this email. Dear Alan, here we go again. It's first day of trout season. I'm working 11 to 7 a.m. Looking forward to your show. It starts off a little trouty, and then the big come down, talking legislature and other boring radio matter. Okay? I'm so sorry, but this happens every Saturday morning, and it goes on and on, the boredom and droning on with matters nobody can bear at this wee hour. Maybe it's just me, and I'm sorry to critique your passion, this show. As an adult, of course, I do see the import of all the legislature and other non-sport/field material. Maybe I have to call more, but my sporting life is not all that fruitful as I would like. Thanks for getting back to trout and fishing challenges, and people, please call and entertain me with your sporting life. Peace and joy in the wilderness. Well, there you go. Hope y'all don't feel the same way, but it's okay. The General Assembly meets for 90 days. Every year and makes decisions that impact our hunting and fishing future. If I bore you with that, you need to tell me. It's very simple. Alan, knock off the crap about the General Assembly. Okay, I will do that. No problem. I won't tell you about the anti-poaching bill. We'll just skip right over that. And if anybody wants to know, we'll certainly ask. You can certainly ask. However, let me give you this valuable piece of information from the department. Anglers who catch a snakehead fish could win prizes worth up to $200 in the Maryland Department of Natural Resources' second annual snakehead contest. Anyone who removes at least one of the invasive non-native fish from the Chesapeake Bay's watershed has a chance to walk away with prizes from Bass Pro Shop and Maryland Park Service, Potomac River Fisheries Commission, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. To enter, an angler should submit catch details and a photo of their dead snakehead online through the DNR Angler's Log, a popular social fishing site. And we talk about the Angler's Log here. We do not want snakeheads in our waters, said DNR Inland Fisheries Director Don Cosden. This initiative is a way to remind anglers it's important to catch and remove this invasive species of fish. The northern snakehead is a non-native invasive species that someone illegally introduced into the Potomac River. Since its introduction, the population has expanded because of the fish's ability to adapt to the ecosystems. Snakeheads now prowl the Potomac and many of its tributaries from Great Falls to the mouth of the river. Anglers have found the fish as far away as the Road and Nanticoke Rivers. as top predators. They rely on other species for food and could negatively impact the ecosystem and other valuable fish populations. Rodney Hose of Lexington Park apparently fishes for him. He won the Bass Pro Shop gift card in last year's contest. Those fish clobber any type of moving bait you throw. When they smash into your lure, be prepared for a fight, especially if they're around some sort of cover. Hose caught his winner along the Occoquan River shoreline in September. Three lucky anglers will win from a random drawing. And on it goes. Talk to Jeff in Baltimore. Morning, Jeff. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
What's up?
I appreciate you reading my email there, sir. That was me, JT.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
I appreciate it. And then I enjoyed hearing that fellow's excitement getting ready to hit the water.
So. Yep, I'd like to hear more of that. You know, hey, Jeff, here's what happens. The callers pretty much dictate which direction we go in the show.
Yeah.
And I can't sit here and wait for them. I got to talk about something. And there's not always the, you know, the greatest exciting news from the department or from around the country that relates to Maryland every single week. Know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I definitely get your dilemma. Plus, like I said, I know that is of important things in the big picture. But here's a question. Maybe it'll help some fellows getting ready to go, or ladies for that matter. Can I have a couple of clues about some of the fineries of stock trout as opposed to the wild ones? I found myself out there at Gwynn's Falls the other day just after some stocking, and I wasn't totally geared up and prepared because I didn't know I was going to fish. But anywho, fellows all around me were catching fish on their power bait and such, and I was throwing various flies and things in there and scaring the fish more than catching
yeah,
the fish.
Yeah, that's usually what happens, exactly.
They were fresh off of the stock. I don't know, I was wondering if maybe there's some fineries that people would...
If you're fly fishing, I think I suggested the muddler. I don't know if you tried that or not, if that was one of the things you tried, the muddler minnow, but... there's woolly buggers. That's another one. In the black or the dark colors, they like that. The early in the season, you know, because it's something big and it looks like something to eat.
Someone suggested the egg pattern because that does look like the power bait. It might not smell like it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, these fish have been fed a diet of fish pellets, you know, for months and since they were hatched in the fish hatchery, and then they take them out and dump them in the wild and expect them to survive on natural food that they've never seen. So they're going to have to go a lot by smell. If it smells like something they can eat, they'll pick it up and eat it. And that's part of it. You know, visual's another. That's why Velveeta cheese and power bait works on these fish because, you know, at least it has some type of an odor to it. A little later, you know, a week or so, once they get adapted into the water there and they start eating natural food, then they'll start picking up on the flies and that type of thing. You said you weren't quite prepared. This time of year, I like something flashy. I mean, I like that Meps made a spinner years back called an Aglia. It had a long blade on it. It didn't take much to turn it. And it came out to compete with another spinner called the CP Swing. But I like those little small spinners, something bright and flashy that turns pretty easily in the water. And you should be okay with something like that. Maybe a rooster tail or something. You know, it depends on the color of the water. If the water's a little murky, you want to go a little lighter, you know, like white or chartreuse or yellow. If the water's a little darker, you can go with, you know, more of the other baits. Some people just throw, you know, white and yellow and chartreuse all the time and have great success. So
yeah, I saw a lot of Well, thank you. I did see a lot of fish come out. Unfortunately, none on my line. I was kind of a little bamboozled seeing everybody pulling them out left and right. And I said, I was like, what's going on here?
So, well, did you ask any of them what they were using? I mean, you probably all said power bait.
Yeah, I kind of knew it. And I said I had didn't plan on fishing totally. And then I stumbled. I was just kind of sightseeing on a beautiful weekday. And I stumbled upon a place that they said that they stocked an hour or so ago. This was a Thursday. And I said, oh, and I thought that maybe the season was closed. But on these two streams that I approached, it was an open season. So I went right in, and a couple other fellows started being there, too. And you could see the fish, pods of them in these holes, and pretty sizable ones at that.
Yeah.
And including one or two very sizable 20-plus inchers that people were trying to get. But for some reason, be it my very not long enough leader and some of the choices and maybe my poor casting.
Yeah, well, it could have been. You never know. Or they just could have, you know, picked that day to conspire against you.
Yeah, there you go. I think it worked pretty well. I left a little bit perturbed, but we'll try again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thanks a lot. And
all right, give it a shot, man. Yep. When I said I've caught them on everything, I mean seriously, I've heard of fish caught on, you know, cigarette butts, and I did catch one on a little piece of orange peel one day on the back of a MEP spinner. I did catch one on a little piece of gummy worm. I mean, I'm telling you, it's got to be the smell. I can't tell you what else it would be. Something that they can, you know, locate in the water. So
I bet some of those miniature marshmallows.
I've heard they work. I've never really tried much on the miniature marshmallows, but
a little bit of weight on there, and
let it bounce along a couple inches off the bottom. That might work. Yeah. one of my favorite baits way back was a cheese flavored Mike salmon egg on a salmon egg hook. You know.
There you go.
So, but anyway, thanks for calling, Jeff. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the email. Take care. There goes Jeff. Walt wants to talk about a sewage spill in...
Hey, good morning, Al.
How are you? What's up, Walt?
I'm doing well today. I'm not a regular caller, but...
That's all right. I'm glad you did. What's up?
I had three questions. First question is, what do you think about this spill in the Patapsco River, all this sewage? Over 1 million gallons of sewage got dumped into the Patapsco.
Yeah.
And it's... running into the, you know, where the ships turn around.
Yeah.
Maybe that keys you to who I am and what I talked about once before.
Yeah. It's a big waterway. 1 million gallons will dilute fairly quickly. Did you notice any fish kills or anything?
No, I didn't. But yeah. What I'm concerned about is crabs.
Yeah, well, I think before the crabs get here, that'll all be rinsed out of there.
Well, you know, they're taking them on trout line down at Hoover's Island.
Yeah, I know they are. I know they are. And it's, well, actually, season starts when? Tomorrow or Monday?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but I'm hearing that the crabs are coming in pretty good from Virginia.
Yeah, so. A little sandy.
Are they a little sandy?
I think they're still pulling a dredge.
He might be a little sandy, huh? You have to wake him up to get him to participate. Yeah, it could be.
Question two.
All right.
I was talking about catching fish. What I found is in Ocean City, I was fishing for sea trout.
Yep.
Catching sea trout, 1 to 2 pounds.
Right.
And the best way to catch bluefish is by hooking the sea trout and trying to reel it in, have a 6-pound bluefish, grab onto it, and not let go, and get it in the boat.
That's a good way. That'll work. Yeah, that'll work. Sure. Yeah.
And also, I want to...
And if you hooked up a sea trout and tried to catch one, you couldn't.
That's true. Also, I'd like to talk about this new bait that I'm seeing on some of the television shows. I think you might know what I'm talking about. It's like a white shad bait.
Yeah, you can name it if you want.
And I was wondering, what do you think about that for rock?
Oh, you know what?
If you're pitching rock on a rock.
Yeah, look, anything that imitates something that a fish is going to eat will work.
Shad-like.
Yeah, you know, I remember many, many moons ago. I'm talking probably 50 years ago, maybe not quite, but when I was a kid, you remember in the back of... was it Outdoor Life? Used to have the gist of it.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All the little vignettes there in the back from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading a story about a guy who was fishing on Chesapeake Bay, and back then you used a big old trolling spoon and a piece of pork rind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he ran out of pork rind, so his baby was with him, and he kind of got an idea. He cut a strip of diaper off. Didn't say whether it was used or not, but he cut a strip of diaper off the kid's britches, hooked that on the back of his spoon, and kept on trolling.
There you go.
And caught some pretty nice fish from what I remember. But, you know, anything that imitates a bait fish or a darting fish or something that fish can chase and eat, go for it.
You know what rig I'm talking about?
I'm not. I don't watch a lot of those shows, but yeah. Go ahead. What's it called?
What it is I have a few.
Like a banjo minnow or something?
No.
Oh, I don't know then.
No. You know what we use for rockfish? You know the big umbrellas.
Yeah, the shad.
Okay. Well, these are mini ones.
Oh, okay. Sure.
What do you think of them over the beds?
I think they'd be great.
Well, I'm getting ready to go through some.
Well, go for it. Give us a report.
I'm licensed to fish. All right, Alan.
All right, man.
Talking.
All right. Hey, I saw a T-shirt the other day. A fella in Maryland or Delaware makes it for hunters. It was called Licensed Serial Killer.
Back in the 60s, when my friends and I, we had a farm down in Rock Hall.
Yeah.
We purchased that property for less than $2,000 an acre.
Man.
And we had little T-shirts made up, licensed to kill.
Yeah,
licensed. Because back then it was different. Our mindsets were different. We were young men, you know.
Oh, sure.
20 years old.
Yeah.
We all pitched in. 10 of us pitched in on a piece of property. Not rental, but it was cheaper to buy it.
Buy it and lease it, yeah.
Yeah.
Back then.
5 year, you know, we bought it in 5 years, and it was almost 100 acres on a creek.
Right.
And the creek was full of perch and stuff like that. So we
nice.
Loved it.
Yeah, and when you sold it, you probably didn't make any money on it.
No, we didn't make any money.
No, hardly.
We made a lot of money.
Yeah, I know you did. I'm sure you did.
Yeah, it jumped up from $1,000. When the hunting property started to pick up and things got real real crazy just before the moratorium,
right.
Properties similar to this, you know, they tripled in value.
Oh, no doubt.
So we actually quadrupled our money in less than 10 years.
That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, God blessed us on that.
Yes, he did. That's right.
I believe in that.
All right, buddy.
I appreciate you talking to me.
You got it, buddy. You take
good
care.
Good luck, all you trouters.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate
see
that.
See you guys.
All right, buddy. Bye. See ya. All right. There he goes. New state record in Delaware. New state record largemouth bass was caught this week. Tell you more about that in a minute. Right now I'm looking for something. Let's see. All right. We'll go from here. So what's in your bed? I mean your pickup truck. Protect your truck bed with a Linex protective coating offered by Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. If you want colors for your truck or even your heavy equipment, Linex with color-coated DuPont Kevlar uses your existing paint code to provide you with that factory-finished look, offering superior protection. Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one in customer satisfaction. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provides mobile service to your job site for commercial and industrial applications, too, from underground holding tanks and secondary containments to styrofoams and plastics. They all need protection. Linex protective coatings have been tested by the Air Force Research Lab and the Army Corps of Engineers, and Linex now coats the walls of the Pentagon. You want to know more? Visit them online at baylinex.com or call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Bay Linex is the only authorized Linex dealer in the Glen Burnie area. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-0199 or visit them online at baylinex.com. Jump into spring. Mention Ellis Outdoors or the Outdoors and Radio Show. Receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you purchase a spray-in bed liner from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie. Bobby Hawkins is the man. Linex, we're not just bed liners.
See the great selection of Ford trucks and SUVs, including the Super Duty and F-150 pickups, America's best-selling trucks for 34 years, at Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln on East Joppa Road in Parkville.
Bob Davidson, the ultimate Ford Lincoln store.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Fishbones Bait and Tackle is open and rocking and rolling for the season here. They've got those custom-tied, hand-painted, hand-tied bucktails and lures for umbrella rigs and everything else that you want for those big old rockfish, those big old trophy rockfish. And they've got the tackle and expertise to back it up. They also carry the best stainless steel crab cookers, crab steamers, pots I've ever seen. They have them in half bushel size, bushel, and bushel and a half. That's right. They're a great stainless steel pot. They come with a lid and a basket, ready to go to steam up a bunch of crabs. They've also got all the bait you could need, one or imagine, all the tackle and rigs and all that stuff. You can just ask them for any help, and they'll be more than glad to help you catch more fish. Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road in Pasadena. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Head towards Gibson Island there, 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. If you want an accurate and up-to-date fishing report, 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Let's see. What was I going to tell you about that state record bass, Delaware? It's here somewhere. Well, when I find it, I'll tell you about it. Huh. It just disappeared on me. It always does that kind of stuff. You ought to see how organized I am here. I'm not. That's the problem. Here it is. Hey, there's new record largemouth bass in the state. 10 pounds, 10 ounces, 26 inches long, 18.75 inches in girth. Caught in Georgetown by James Hitchens, who transported it to Seaford to be officially weighed in records, and then he took it back to Georgetown where it was released back where it was caught. So, past that point, pure speculation about anything as Mr. Hitchens ain't talking. So, anyway, interesting. Very nice. So, let's see. Who we got here? Oh, we got Sally in Charles Village. Let's see what she wants to talk about. Good morning, Sally.
Oh, good morning. I called last week to say I wasn't going to vote for anybody who made a robocall to me, and Romney has already called me up, so he was out. Since then, today I received my 7th robocall from Romney. I don't know what they think they're doing besides annoying people with those calls. That's so unintelligent. I don't think anybody who okayed such a thing should hold high office. And that's what I just wanted to say, if you allow me to say it.
You just did.
Okay, thank you very much.
Other than the fact that he bothers you all the time, what else don't you like about the man?
Well,
primary's coming Tuesday, Sally. It's your big moment.
I know it is. I really dislike that health care plan that he had.
Yeah.
He sort of backed off of it now, but still he had it. And I have this awful feeling he's going to be bringing another lady co-president in, you know, the way Hillary'd say this is a co-president.
Oh.
And I'm a little put off by that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what did you, you know, like, who was it? The girl from Plains. She would say, like, I can't remember the man's name all the time now. Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter, yeah.
She would say, the reason to vote for him is because I come with him. Now, what in the world is that supposed to
be? Oh, who knows?
You know?
Who knows?
And I think with Ann, we've got another one of these co-presidencies coming.
That's very possible. Well, now, Sally, are you going to vote on Tuesday?
You know, I don't think I am.
Well, you should.
I know I should.
You should, because let me tell you why. There are some very important other races there as well. Even if you don't help decide who the nominee is for president, you always exercise your franchise.
I know. May I say this? I am disabled, so getting there is a big problem for me. If it turns out somebody will take me and it's going to work out already, you know, then I definitely will, because I quite agree with you. You should vote.
Yep. That's
and,
right.
It's very possible that someone will take me there easily enough, but if a ride doesn't show up or something.
I understand. Well, let's hope you get out and exercise your franchise. I mean, I'm still up in the air as far as who to vote for on as far as the presidential nominee, and of course we must all get behind whoever that nominee is to defeat this president.
Oh yes, I agree with that 1,000%. I think it would be an absolute disaster to have him in for a second term. Disaster. I'm going to make a great effort to get there after just talking to you like this.
I hope you do, Sally.
I will.
You take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There she goes. Do you know Amy's, my frequent caller, Amy from Reisterstown, his birthday is today, 89. I'm invited to her birthday party. What do you think of that? So I think I'll make that. Yes, indeed. So anybody wants to wish happy birthday to Amy at 89? What's on the menu? I think there are 189 items to choose from at the buffet. That's all I'm going to tell you. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Happy birthday. Amy, you said, right?
Amy, that's right.
89 years old.
Nine. 89.
89.
One away from 90. That's right. What a nice lady, too.
Yeah, that is exciting news. Did you find it? About the fish in Delaware, the court that broke the record?
Yeah, I just said it. State record.
I was calling as you were doing that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Largemouth bass, 10 pound, 10 ounces.
Yeah, and the thing, he caught it and released it.
Yeah, 26 inches long, big girth on it, 18.75 inches in girth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's going fishing in the pond. I'm going back up to ref soccer morning, and I've missed you very, very much, but I pray for you every day.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And did you go hunting much over the, as they say?
I did a fair amount of deer hunting. I didn't do too much waterfowl. There wasn't a lot of opportunity, nor was there a lot of game during the goose and duck season. I mean, I probably missed a couple opportunities, but I did go to Maine back in December for sea ducks, rider ducks. And had a good time with my buddy Vic up there and 10-mile guide service. Clifton Ames did a wonderful job as far as helping us whack a couple of nice sea ducks, some eiders and some white-winged scoters and such.
I enjoy, even when I wasn't driving, I'd get up early and listen, and I knew you were going up to do some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real purpose of my call is I'm going to follow on your election. If that dear Saint Lady does not have an opportunity to get out and vote, she can go to a board of elections to get an absentee ballot.
Yeah.
And they won't mail them once she files for it once.
Right.
I took my neighbor over, Kirk Cannon. He's 81, as a matter of fact, Kirk.
Right.
I took him over. He doesn't have a driver's license anymore, so it was kind of a heated discussion to get him. He had to present a driver's license so he could vote absentee ballot because they didn't believe it. But anyway, we got him taken care of. We got absentee. They mail him every whatever election is, whether it's for the school board, whether it's for whatever.
Yeah, sure.
And which is the right way to do it, because they do protect you. And I'm also running. I decided to run for school board.
Good for you.
Seaport, Delaware. You know, it was like a friend of mine said, "Bruce, stop thing and do something.
There you go.
And I've studied it. The state of Delaware is rather interesting. In a school board position, they have 10 commandments for school board members, but yet I can't pray in my school.
Right. I got you.
So you have a blessed rest of the day, and it's great to hear your voice again.
All right, buddy. Nice talking to you, Bruce. Stay in touch. Thanks.
Bye.
See
you.
Bye-bye. There goes Bruce. Hey, goose hunters, it's time now to purchase your Eastern Shoreman goose call from Sean Mann Outdoors. Why now? Goose season's over? Yeah, pretty much. But what you want to do is get that call and start to practice with it. Get good on it. Get good on that Eastern Shoreman. And if you get good on the Eastern Shoreman, you can always always go to the short rig call and try working on that. But that Eastern Shoreman is a sweet sound. It will imitate all the sounds of Canada goose, all the sounds that they possibly make. You can learn how to, moan and cuss and spit and do whatever else Canada geese do so you can help attract them to your set. That's for sure. SeanMann.com is the website. And you can even hear the calls on SeanMann.com, www.SeanMann.com. Or you can call the office, 800-345-4539. That's 800-345-4539. Sean Mann became a world goose calling champion in 1985, went on to be champion of champion. Grew up here in Maryland's Eastern Shore, goose hunted all his life with his dad, and developed the Eastern Shoreman goose call from SeanMann.com. Check it out, that's for sure. Do something. 800-345-4539 for Sean Mann and the Eastern Shoreman goose call. You might even take a look at booking a trip with Sean. All right. Well, you hear the music. We're getting ready to get out of here for this hour. We'll be right back after the news. And looking forward to more of your phone calls, more of the Outdoorsman Radio Show comes. And now, if you're going trout fishing, get out, stay out, but stay safe. As the proud owner of a Ford F-150 pickup, I'm pleased to recommend Bob Davidson Ford Lincoln. From the sales experience to the quick lane service department, Bob Davidson is Maryland's only Ford dealer that has earned the Ford President's Award.